seated. And you may open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. So we're still talking about thoughts. See, thoughts uncontrolled rob our joy. Okay? So, and you know, I like that. Good morning, right? You know, when you wake up in the morning, that's what you look at one another, you look at your wife, say, good morning. You start your day with a good confession. Good morning. You don't wake up and say, oh, bad morning. Huh? No. Oh, it's another day. No, good morning. See? It's all in what you verbalize with your mouth. See, so it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen? See, because we've had another week of that roller coaster ride of life. And I'm telling you, it's almost like you want to stop and get off sometimes. But see, we can handle the ride.
Amen.
Right? And this life, though, this roller coaster, it just seems like it has so many trials and tribulations and temptations that we get affected with. Right? Well, this causes the thoughts, all kinds of negative thoughts. And if not kept in check, are going to lead us to doubting God and doubting His Word. And this leads what? Leads what? To anxiety, to stress, and worry. Not good. Not good at all. It is therefore important we gather together in God's house where we can find the joy and peace. Now that's good. So you're there in Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to look at verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Remember, hope is confident expectation. Confident expectation without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Verse 24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Now think about it, consider. Consider meaning to carefully think about someone in order to stir up love and good works. So we can see that love and good works need to be stirred up. The Greek word translated stir up has come into the English as paroxysm, which means, get this, a convulsion. Okay? You think, okay, convulsion. In this text, the Greek word speaks forcibly of the tremendous impact we as believers can have on one another. You getting that now? It's important to be in the house to stir up and exhort one another. Strongly encouraging a brother or sister. We all need encouraged. And every day we need encouraged. Especially in the day and age we're living in. So it is good to be in the house of the Lord. But now in the Amplified Classic Edition. Let me read this. It says, let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. And let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some. See, there are some that blow it off. I feel bad for them. This is the place you want to be.
Amen. Yes, sir.
This is where you want to be. This is where you're going to find encouragement. This is where you're going to hear the words of life being spoken to you, because there's his word is alive. It's life-giving. Amen? But encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully, as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. So let me encourage you, because, see, the greater one dwells in you. Don't give negative thoughts a second thought. Put them under the obedience of Christ. Now, Matthew chapter 18, real simple. Verse 20. Now, it's in the red. Right? 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together. Remember, Jesus is speaking. In my name, I am there in the midst of them. God is in the house. He is in the house. Well, do you feel his presence? Because I do. I do. I can feel the difference when you come into the house with people who want to be here. I can feel the difference. See, in his presence is great peace and joy. Unspeakable joy. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And we're going to look at verse 3, chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Now, inheritance. Now, listen, this is, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. See, it's reserved, but you can tap into it now. Okay? You have it here. You have the inheritance right now. And when you go there's going to be a whole bunch more there for you. I just want to make sure you understand that. It's not, you got to wait till you get to heaven to get it. Enjoy it now. Enjoy your inheritance right now. Hallelujah. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation already to be revealed in the last time. But there it said a living hope. A living hope here does not imply wishful thinking, but rather a dynamic confidence that does not end with this life, but continues throughout eternity. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice. And you know when you look that word up, rejoice, in the concordance, it means jumping for joy. Yeah. Jumping for joy. Well, I don't know, what was that cartoon with that girl that she was called Joy? She was always dancing. Remember the one with the blue hair? What was the name of that movie, Lee? Yeah. but it was all, it dealt with emotions. You ought to watch it sometime. You know, you got the sad person who's always beating themselves up. And then you got the hot-headed one that's in there. It shows fire coming out of it every time he reacted. That's how he reacted to everything. He didn't take a breath then. Hallelujah. Anyway, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And that's the trials of life that it's talking about here. It's not talking about sickness here. It's talking about the trials of life which we are living through. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The testing of our faith in these various trials will develop our capacity and strength as we overcome them, bringing glory to the Lord. That we will overcome. We have been made to overcome. Verse 8, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy, unspeakable, inexpressible, and full of glory. Hallelujah. Joy unspeakable, inexpressible. Joy from God is a joy which words cannot describe. That's why it is joy unspeakable. That fills us to overflowing. That is the fullness of joy. And that receives honor. And that is full of glory. In Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, in his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence, we are in his presence. And we have been doing things that are joyful. We've been praising him. There's a lot of things we're going through, but we are praising him. Yeah. Through it all, just as the song said, we must be found praising him. It benefits us. It benefits us. Fullness of joy represents rejoicing and gladness. See, it's a celebration of who God is and what he does for us every day. Yeah, he does things for us every day. We just got to realize it. Every day, he's part of our life. He's involved. Sometimes you don't realize what he's doing for you. It may take a few days, and you'll go click back and go, oh, I wonder how that happened. Then you realize, well, it had to be God. God will bring revelation to you. What is joy filled with glory? It means valuing him above all that is valuable. It means treasuring him above all that is costly. It means praising him above all that is praiseworthy. Amen? Yeah. How's that song going back there, Therese? What? You guys can help me here, okay? I had the cue here. Okay, ready? Let's do this together. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where?
Down in my
heart. Where?
I've
got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where?
Down
my heart to stay. Amen? And the song just goes on. It's so much fun to sing that song. You know, those are back in the days. Because I remember when I used to, I was in charge of, from the church that we came from. We used to go across and go into another church because we had so many kids. And we'd go upstairs. And Tony, I'm telling you, we were in this room, and it was just full of kids. And I would write out on poster board all the songs. And we would play a little tape player, as it was before CDs, and play the tape player. And the kids were singing, and we were in this room with the doors shut, right? And because they didn't have any fans, I had to bring my own fans to, you know what I'm saying? You talk about a room with a bunch of little kids, and everybody dancing and running around? I'm telling you what, I walked out of there. Yeah, you talk about perspiration. Woo, Jesus. But it was fun. It was fun. The kids were all excited. Hallelujah. And those are days are still with us when we sing these songs. Hallelujah. Don't let your negative thoughts affect your faith, folks. Use your faith to affect the changes to your thoughts. See, and then you will be full of the joy of the Lord. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. As you're there on Peter, it should be an easy turn to. James chapter 1. Verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Trials are not fun and may be very, very painful. But we are to consider them as opportunities for rejoicing. Troubles and difficulties are tools that refine and purify our faith, producing patience and endurance. Patience to bear up under the heavy afflictions going through the trials of today. The ability to stand fast under pressure with a staying power that turns adversities into opportunities. We can't really know the depth of our character until we see how we react under pressure. Well, thank God for His promise to be with us through these tough times. See, as we ask Him to solve our problems or give us the strength to endure them, what do we got to do? Then be patient. We got to be patient. See, God will not leave us to face our problems all alone. He will stay close at hand to help us. And then we will grow. We will become more mature, able to stand, able to stand. Romans chapter 5. Verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope, what is that hope there in the Bible? Confident expectation. Does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Again, we see the trials and tribulations will produce endurance, giving us staying power. When we exercise our faith during these difficult times, we will see victory. We will see victory. And we will endure tribulation. Yes. And as we endure it, God's works in us to develop certain qualities and virtues that will strengthen and draw us closer to Him. See, the result is a fortified hope in God and His promises. Makes a little difference when you know what the word hope means there. Now, hope does not disappoint. And the reason we can be so confident is that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. The Father loved us so much, He sent His Son to bridge the gap between us. This is agape love, God's love. And Jesus was filled with that same love. Then the Father and Son sent Holy Spirit to fill our lives with the same love and to enable us to live by His power. His power. the Holy Spirit. When God spoke it, who made it happen? Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? You have the Holy Spirit in you. Power. Are you releasing it against your enemy? That Holy Spirit power. It's like having a Rottweiler and you don't let it go. Get him. Get him, boy. Get him. Power. There's power in the Holy Spirit for you and I. Hallelujah. Ah, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. Because in Acts 1:8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It says it right there. That Holy Spirit is in you. When you were born again, you received the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is in us. The one of power, love, and of a sound mind. I like the self-control. See, self-control through the Holy Spirit enables us to control our thoughts. You get that? I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. No, but the Holy Spirit, Jesus said that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. See, he will teach you all things. And he'll bring to your remembrance all things that I said. And you do that when you read the Word, and he'll bring the revelation to you. You know this Word was inspired by the Holy Spirit? Do you think the four Gospels, they had total memory recall when they wrote them? And they didn't write it when it would happen, but they had to put it all down. And they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And look what Paul did. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit made sure that it was written there so that we could have it to learn from, to give us guidance, to bring wisdom so that we can make proper decisions. And you make them, align them up with God's will, you ain't going to lose nothing. You're going to win. You're going to win. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby. Yeah. The agape love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Now, let me bring a little bit of clarification this with the Amplified Classic Edition. Okay? It says, and so faith, hope, love, abide. Faith, conviction, and belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Hope, joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Okay, somebody say it. Everything. Hallelujah. Ah, God, amen. We get participation. I love that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Love is the greatest of all human qualities. See, it is an attribute of God Himself. For God is love. Love involves unselfish service to others to show evidence that we care. Faith is the foundation and content of God's message. Hope is the attitude and focus Love is the action. When faith and hope are in line, we are free to love completely because we will understand and know how God loves. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, we're going to read verses 17 through 19. Now, I want you to listen to what the Lord has to say, okay? But I'm going to read it to you out of the NLT, okay? New Living Translation. So you can follow along, but this here, I think, brings it a little clearer. It says, now this is, remember, this is what the Lord is saying. He says, I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do, for I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you see it? Do you not see it? Are you seeing all what God's doing? See, He's bringing down the wicked. He's bringing more and more exposure of all the sin and evil that is in our corrupt government. But He goes on to say, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wilderness is full of loneliness, self-doubt, questioning, and despair. We feel knocked down and terribly alone. Tim? But God. But God is making a way through. Wastelands are an ecologically unstable land. That's what wastelands are, which are low in productivity and severely affected by soil erosion. Now, stop right there. Holy Spirit said, affected by erosion of morals, stressful conditions, and hostile environmental conditions caused by politicians who are self-serving and not serving we the people who elected them. God is creating rivers of cleansing and refreshing for our land, the land which I love, the land which God has a purpose and a plan for. So America shall be saved, folks. See, God is doing something. We can see it. In Galatians 6, verse 7, Galatians 6, verse 7, says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. I like that. Do not be deceived. God is not marked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'm telling you, God is turning things around. God is turning things around. Because in verse 9 there, in Galatians 6, verse 9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Do not become weary. Take control of thoughts of doubt and discouragement and put them under the obedience of Christ. Continue to pray and trust God. Don't be moved by what you're getting fed into your head by the news media and from so many of the things on social media. Continue to pray and trust God. So I say, rejoice. And Paul said, and again, I almost said, rejoice. You got to come before him in praise and be filled with what? Joy. Joy unspeakable. Right? And what do we got to do? Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him when the sun goes down. Yeah. Don't make it harder than what it is. You've heard that said so many times today. If you've been paying attention, up here by the worship team, by the words they said, by what was read in the decree. Come on, praise him. It's in 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. I see Shirley's pen. I should have looked over earlier. I see that pen is scribbled already. Okay. All right. It says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our," real loud,
faith.
That's right. It's our faith. Yeah, who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay. Then you have overcome the world already by that sheer statement. Be confident. Be confident in the Word of God. It is true. Hallelujah, Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen are eternal." Which are not seen are eternal. Sorry about that. This is accomplished through our faith. So we stand in faith with eyes on the Lord. Always. Always. We walk by faith and we see by faith for the breakthroughs. We purpose to live by faith before he ever moves. We receive by faith before he moves. Because he is trustworthy and he is faithful. He is trustworthy and he is faithful. It is the season for change. I'm going to say that again. It is the season for change. Say this real quick. I believe, I believe, I believe. Amen. See, simply believe. Hallelujah. Psalm 27, verse 4. Or, yeah, chapter 4. Psalm 27. No, it's chapter. Yeah, there we go. Psalm 27. All right. Here we go. "One thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." That's a lot of safety right there that was in those two. "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing," yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." Here's my last one. Isaiah 40. We're going to look at verses 28 through 31. Okay? I see Shirley's there. All right. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Come on up, guys. For those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. For the Lord will go before you, and His joy will be our strength. I'm going to tell you, we need to be patient. We need to be patient. And we need to wait upon the Lord. Amen. Okay, Ted.